Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Simply. This is She, and I want to thank you for joining in this moment. In this space, we're going to connect to food. We're going to connect to the alchemy of food and our roots. As I've shared in other segments, especially in relationship to reconnecting to self, our foundation, our core, is associated with food, water, and shelter. These are some of the mechanisms that we rely on in our current state of awareness to sustain ourselves. However, I do like to gently note that if you spend more and more time out in nature, you'll realize as you commune with Mother Nature that we actually don't really need to eat as much as we have been told. And it's a beautiful way to get healthy when you have something going on is to reduce the amount of food you're eating, not when you're in ICU. You definitely need to eat and make sure that you're receiving nutrients that way. But if you're fighting something or early on in a disease, it's a great time to do a fast, to clear the body out, to allow the body to rest, and then add the food back in. And if you are sick, if you have a long-term illness or a short-term illness, really to think about reduction. Reduction of sugar, reduction of intake of food will allow the body to get back to square one and see what's going on and slowly introducing foods. That's why when the baby first comes out, it's not time to have a big meal. And then so you might say, well, what are we supposed to do with food? And for me, food is about celebration. It's about bringing family together and friends and having time to have conversation, to eat slowly and enjoy one another. And that is so precious that you can do as a family with friends, and you can also do it with yourself. And the beautiful part about it is that when you do with a group of people, you can enjoy making a lot of things, tasting a lot of things, and then you can go back to more of a simplistic diet, bringing it simple, allow the senses to be in repose, and then decide when you want to activate them. You'll really notice how it impacts your body if you are accustomed to eating this way. If every day you're satiating your senses with a lot of flavors and spices and things, you will notice a difference from one to the next. So play around with it and see what happens. For this segment today, I wanted to shine a light on two books that are a lot of fun and have amazing knowledge and might be a place to explore. One from Heart Matter is the first one that we'll talk about. The name of the book is called Aphrodite, A Memoir of the Senses by Isabel Allende. I'm going to say her Allende. Isabel Allende, Aphrodite. And this book is a beautiful, romantic aspect of food, connecting with its beauty and its possibility, its expression. So this is how I love to relate to food, to connect with it in its energetic state, to have a conversation with nature, and as I'm preparing it, allowing it to help lead me to who it wants to hang out with. And then there's this other great book that I just recently got called The Sacred Cookbook. It was inspired from a movie called Sacred Science. I will put all the links below. And this book is a compilation of forgotten healing recipes from all over the world. It's really beautiful imagery, the photography, and the recipes. And we're going to dive into both of these today. Before we do that, what I'd like to do is have you just connect to your senses and recapitulate how you typically eat. Do you eat quickly? Do you remember your last meal? So maybe just close your eyes for a moment and go back to your last meal. What did you eat, if you can remember? And where did you eat, if you can remember? And how rapidly did you eat? And did you bring mindfulness to it? Or were you moving through it quickly? These are some beautiful things to reflect on and to understand what was going on. And if there was emotional eating, if there was eating alone because you just needed nourishment, was there eating with family and friends? And what did it reveal in each one of those memories? And then step back further and think about, how do you typically eat day in and day out? I can share that when my children were young, it was sometimes all I could do was to eat as fast as I could because I might not get a chance to eat. Now, that wasn't always the most responsible thing to do, and I mean that sincerely because, yes, of course I needed to eat because I was breastfeeding my son or daughter, whoever was the baby at the time, and I did need to eat to keep my nutrition level up for them. However, the body is a miraculous thing. And so what would have been probably more mindful in those moments, especially when I remember really hurrying, was to just take a pause. There really was no hurry. Why did I need to hurry? I can't even think of a good reason then or now. So if you are young parents, really think about how you can carve out time and explore different ways of eating with the family, especially when the kids are young. You might, and I still do this with my kids, you might make a picnic on the floor in the house and eat on the floor. This creates a more creative, fun space to eat. There's plenty of time to sit formally at a table. Just work with it in a way that where everyone can be in joy. The reason this is so important and the reason I bring you back to how you ate, when you're going fast, when you're going slow, is that this is the energy you're putting in your body. This is how you're consuming it. So if you're not mindfully eating, like wonder, like if you, let's say, grab a snack and say it's not super healthy, even though you might eat really healthy, it's, let's just say it's more of a grab-and-go food, and no matter what it is, if it's a piece of organic fruit or vegetable, or if it's organic chips, or if it's a processed food, whatever it might be, but let's just say it's some kind of quick snack, and you're just eating it rapidly, and you're not sitting down and being mindful with it, what kind of relationship are you having with yourself and the sustenance you're asking to go in your body? You're saying, I need to eat you quickly and throw you in my body. Or do you take time to really say, wow, I really enjoy this. This is an indulgence. This is, a yummy chocolate truffle, and I'm only going to get one, but I'm going to sit and really enjoy it and savor the flavors. That's a much different response that you're having and interaction you're having with the food, yourself, and signals that you're sending through your body. If you're just eating without thinking about it and rapidly, you're just, the body's going, oh gosh, incoming, lots of food incoming, and then it has to figure out how it wants to process it. So these are just some simple reflections for this segment to really think, and just this can be the only practice you take away today, is to think about how you're eating and what are the settings. And if you notice you're eating rapidly, that to take some time and take a pause. And if even if you're at work, just say, you know what, I'm going to go break away and sit and eat for a moment and just be really mindful, present with the food that I'm putting in my body. And ask yourself, why am I eating this? Why am I putting it in my body? Am I hungry? Or was this just offered to me and it was a really nice gesture and I want to enjoy it? And I normally wouldn't eat this, but it's okay. I'm enjoying it right now. Whatever the scenario is, stop and think about it. Or are you thinking about your food too much? And we'll talk about that. So one, just bring presence in. Play around with it. It's just a simple practice. See how you're feeling about the food you're putting in. The more harmony and love that you consume, the more gratitude you consume, the better for your entire ecosystem, mind, body, and spirit, however you want to refer to it. And then number two, are you putting so much energy into your food, meaning that if you're a compulsive dieter, if you're a superfood addict, if you have a scenario about everything that you're eating, what kind of conversation are you having with yourself? Is it joyful, or is it truly medicinal at that point, or are you just over-concerned with what you need in your body? Now, it might be that you have a health condition and you found some beautiful recipes that can help you. However, if that's the case, once you've figured that alchemy out, think about just being grateful. Like, wow, I figured out this great alchemy for my diet. I'm going to let go of all the scientific facts. I'm going to let go of all the data. And I'm going to be in harmony with this beautiful food that I'm giving myself. And guess what? I don't even have to tell anyone. I can just eat it and enjoy. So play around with that too, especially if you are that superfood junkie, because this is just as hazardous when we become over-consumed with what we're consuming, because we notice that maybe there's some compulsion there. Now, the third thing I would like to bring to our awareness today around food is that, do you have just gut instincts? So when we bridge from the superfoods, do you know that certain things aren't good for you? Do you realize, do you listen and say, wow, I'm not supposed to eat that? So I brought this analogy up before because I had some time to live up in the forest, and I really just connected with the bears and the deers and the slugs and everything, the eagles, everything that was happening in that forest. And what was amazing to me is this animal life was so hardy, okay? And this is a part of Canada that's sunny and beautiful most of the year, but it does get cold. So the bears hibernate, all the traditional things that are supposed to happen in the forest happen. But those bears come out looking amazing after their hibernation, you know, this beautiful thing that's happening for them. And the deer are amazing, gorgeous coats, really just gentle and sweet. However, what they're eating is pretty simple. We as humans are very similar, and we don't have to, one, overthink what we're eating, but I feel really important to listen to your intuition. So bring yourself back to a memory when you were a kid where your parents made you eat something that you didn't want to. Now, you had an instinct. Maybe you honestly didn't like it. Maybe you just were too afraid to try it and didn't want it. Whatever it might be is that you did have an instinct. I can remember my mother cooked a couple dishes that I absolutely did not want. They were not aligned with me. And it's giving yourself the time to listen and say, no, I don't want that. For instance, milk. As a kid, even as a grown-up, I never really wanted that. Luckily, my parents didn't really press upon it too much. And that is something to consider. My body was saying no. And then it changes over time what your body needs. So what worked for you maybe as a child shifted as an adolescent, and then as you get older too. So learning to listen to the body, what works and what doesn't work. So you might have mainstream media over here saying, eat this, eat that, and you're starting to consume it, but you might be doing it for the wrong reasons. So this practice to play around with, one, is to bring awareness to how you're eating, connect with it, and see if you can bring gratitude into your eating, bring a calmer, mindful presence into your eating. And then number two, start to look at what stories are you creating around food, and why are you eating foods? Are there any compulsions that you want to be aware of? And are you overthinking what you're eating? And we want to bring both these spectrums into balance. And then number three, if you can start to ignite your intuition, if you can start to really listen, play a game, you know, you get served a bunch of things at the table and just say, feel into it. No, I don't definitely want that. And if you have kids, let them choose too. Start to look and listen to what they love and what they don't love. I knew through both of my pregnancies with my children that I definitely crave different things. Their soul bodies wanted different things. So this gives me a clue that we all crave different things and need different things, and that there isn't one specific way for every being on this planet to eat. We can look at that in nature alone. Every insect or animal is thriving on different things. So three things: presence, are you overconsumed with the story of why you're eating something? And then number three, intuition, start to feel into your food, see what happens. Now we're going to sidestep that and just shine a light on these two books. Aphrodite, A Memoir of the Senses. Again, engaging all your senses when you eat, when you actually are going to take some time to eat. Do you think about how your fingers feel with the food? I always encourage people to eat with their hands. There's something that happens. I taught a family cooking class later this summer, and it was fun to really encourage the kids to put their hands in the food as we were preparing it. And they really got it. They understood why, and it made them feel really happy. So play around with touch, taste, sound, smell, sight, and that sixth sense, the intuition, and see what happens when you're with the food and what you're hearing. If you're eating with someone, if you've ever eaten someone that has a very loud chew, for some people that's annoying, but just notice what the food sounds like when it's in their mouth, because they're orating it really loud. So rather than getting annoyed, you might say, wow, that's what a carrot sounds like. You know, you get to hear those crunches and you get to experience them. If you have kids, or if you want to be a grown-up kid, have everyone eat really loud and slurp their soup and just have fun with it. See what the slurps sound like with the soup. So this book by Isabel is this fun book, and I'm going to just turn to a page, and we're going to connect a little bit with her recipes in here. All these recipes are basically broken out with story, poetry, and she talks about the aphrodisiac quality of food in this book. And the reason I just enjoyed this is because this really gives you a sense of the energy exchange that is there, is possible in food. However, sometimes we look over it. We don't connect to all these wavelengths, or we might not think it's supposed to. But food is there for pleasure. Because as I mentioned earlier in this episode, is that if you spend enough time in nature, just like the bears and the deer, you realize we don't really need that much food. But wow, does she provide us, Mother Nature provides us with so many options. So this is an indicator that, one, it's there for medicine, but two, it's there for pleasure to enjoy. So I'm going to read one of the poems that she has, and she's talking in the book at this point. This is on page 61 if you happen to have it. And she's just coming off talking about gelatin. And here's a thing that she quotes. And since we're on the subject of gelatin, I can't resist the temptation to quote a few lines. Oh, avity, for the elephantine leg, pillowing with fat, O majesty of the divine thigh, a jelly-like liquidity. Long live the adipos, adulators of idleness, those of the class who leave the odious scutwork to the mule and eat everything that fattens the ass. So she says, forgive me, I'm afraid I strayed again. So she has a very tongue-in-cheek sense of humor. That's from Enrique Serena, the hymn to cellulite. So we do need fats in our diet, and good fats, and there's plenty of them that planet Earth made for us, so we can think about that. Now I'm just going to share one of her recipes. It's simple. It's like the base, being that we're in, by Gaian standards, in winter, a lot of soups are fun to make, to create right now. This is a vegetable stock, and it's fun little simple tip. I will put this on a page and create a link to this episode so you can have it if you're interested. But this vegetable stock is fun because I'm just going to read her recipe how she wrote it. After you strain the stock, don't use the vegetables that are left for erotic games, but for a delicious sauce. Blend in a processor and add 1 cup of sliced mushrooms that have been sautéed in butter and 1 teaspoon of lemon juice. But back to the stock, you can use all the vegetables you didn't eat during the week, even if they're not terribly fresh. But you must still wash them carefully or buy the following. A leek, an onion, a turnip, 2 medium zucchinis, 4 cloves of garlic, 2 large carrots, 4 stalks of celery, 1 cup mushrooms, 2 large tomatoes, 1 red and green pepper, seeded, cut in large sections, a bay leaf, thyme, rosemary, and sweet basil to taste, a pinch of pepper, cumin, and paprika. Cook on low heat for an hour with the lid tightly closed. Strain through a cloth and let cool. Place all the ingredients in a pressure cooker. After the vast whistle simmered on low heat for 30 minutes, strain through a cloth and let cool. And if you don't have a pressure cooker, you can, again, allow it to just simmer, break down, and you can even blend this to keep all the vegetables there and have a thicker, richer, brown, green stock that's really yummy. And you can add it to many things. So you can tell in this book, she's really cheeky, fun, and really brings out the energy, that playful energy that exists in food and how they can play together. And this is how you can play in the kitchen versus looking at it as a chore. Now, the next book that I would love to shine a light on is The Sacred Cookbook, Forgotten Healing Recipes. This is by Nick Polizzi, and he basically featured traditions from all over the world, from the Amazon, Aztec, Caribbean, Celtic, Cree, Druid, Greek, Incan, Nigerian, Russian, Slavic, Thai, Quechuan, Mongolia, those are just to name a few, but there are many. And it's a beautiful cookbook because the pictures, the way he laid it out was just mindfully done and shares the medicinal parts of it and the yummy aspects of it. It's both, there's some vegetarian recipes in here, there's recipes with meat and fish in here, all different kinds. And I think you'll be pleased if you check it out online with the recipes. And what I'm going to do right now is we're just going to open to a page and share what it is. Oh, we have more soup. Oh, so this is a Brazilian yucca stew, I guess is a better way. And this is made out of 1 pound of yucca root, a half teaspoon of sea salt, 1 15-ounce can of coconut milk, or you can make fresh from the shell, 1 cup shredded collard greens, 2 pounds of raw shrimp, if you want vegetarian, omit those, juice of 1 lime, 1/2 bunch fresh cilantro, 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 1 medium onion, 3 cloves, 1 red bell pepper, 1 green bell pepper, and 4 large tomatoes, and 1/2 teaspoon of chili paste. Now, this is yummy because it is rich in essential minerals. Yucca is often used to thicken soups and stews in South America. This zesty Brazilian dish is a culinary portrait holding the fingertips of 3 major cultural influences in Brazil, native, Amerindian, Portuguese, and Africa. So very interesting facts. And down in South America, there's such an enclave of many cultures that have migrated there. So I'm not going to read completely this whole recipe, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a link below. And this preparation, what I would like to share is that as you prepare all these ingredients in this this Brazilian yucca stew, is to be mindful and even bring yourself to the location. If you're inspired to make this recipe, bring yourself to the location and see what occurs as you're connecting to it and all the flavors. I mean, having coconut milk and lime and cilantro, this is Brazilian, but you're also, if you've eaten a lot of food from Thailand or different parts of Asia, you might remember some of these same ingredients are included in those dishes too. So allow yourself to connect to the food and see where it brings your taste buds back to. This is fun to play with. So 2 beautiful books that connect you to the senses, connect you to culture. And this is a great way to explore the senses, to explore what's unfolding around you, and to see what happens when you do this. So that is it for the alchemy of food today. I hope that you, if you are inspired, that you take time to have presence with your food, to really see what kind of stories you're associating with your food. And then also, if you can work on connecting to your intuitive nature, feeling into the energy of the food, and then have fun and play. until next time, what I want to do is I want to sign out with a little random rap, Rain on the World. This is from his new album called Release. That link will also be below. Random Rab is a beautiful alchemist in the sound studio, a great element to add when you're cooking. So as you enjoy Rain on the World, maybe mix yourself a cup of tea, prepare something yummy to nourish yourself, and then sit back and just relax and enjoy. Until next time, this is She, Be Simply. I sign out with a deep bow, a soft gaze, a full heart, and a full belly, and a namaste.